It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Anne loves you with all of her heart. Don't let her go. Don't let her go. Bring her home. Bring her home to us. We will welcome her with open arms. We will welcome her with all the love in the world. All the love in the world. She's a dream come true, and God has placed her there for you. That's what love stories are made out of. Someone that is so madly in love with you.
You gotta stop doing this.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is the finals. We made it. Can you believe it?
We are here. We have suffered this season. We have been complicit this whole time. We got our first White Lives Matter model. That was huge. First knock knock rose. Kelsey Weir.
It was a game-changing performance. But before we get into the game itself, let's take a brief moment here at the top of this episode to discuss the first confirmed player on Bachelorette, Claire Crawley's next season.
Woohoo!
His name's Cameron Duffy. Reality Steve reported that he was spotted in San Diego shooting his kind of intro package. He's 28 years old. He's in real estate investment. He is a gun enthusiast.
We found that he liked a bunch of his friends' Instagram posts that were very misogynistic and homophobic.
And somebody sent me a thing that said he has no Instagram post from 2016.
That's hilarious.
I know. I mean, that proves nothing, but for me, it's like, okay, what do we got here?
The thing is, it was clear he had done a cursory scrub when I got to his profile. Not that many pictures. You have entire years where there's no photos. He only had 9 tagged photos, and a couple of them were just Bachelor-related. So he had removed the tags on most pictures of him.
But it's not fast enough. What these players never seem to understand is as soon as you know you're going to be on the show, as soon as you get that call, maybe you even delete your Instagram and start again.
That's what I would suggest. It's too much baggage.
If you know you have some, at the very least, if you know you have some stuff that's going to be questionable, pictures of exes, anything that can tarnish the identity you're presenting in the game, you have to get rid of it. And this guy didn't even remotely do that.
To be fair, I did follow his friend who had a private profile, so I don't know that the producers went that far.
Then the producers are terrible at their job, or, bear with me here, they did do that. And they cast him on the show specifically because of these things. Because
they set a trap for me.
No, I don't think it set a trap for you. I think those kind of ideologies appeal to a certain core demographic in the Bachelor audience.
Can I tell you what I did?
Please.
I didn't follow all of his friends. I followed his friends who he repeatedly appeared with and who gave me a vibe. Some of that vibe might have been an American flag emoji in their profile description.
I like this.
But there's certain indicators where you're like, I'm going to find some MAGA shit this
you
way.
You have an extra sensory perception for MAGA.
I knew it. I texted you. I was like, I know we're going to find something on him. I knew it.
It brings me to something that it got me thinking about.
These posts aren't even that old. They're 2013, 2014. Feels recent.
But like I said, I think they cast people like this specifically to appeal to a piece of the audience. And it's the same as the NFL. There are huge similarities, I think, between The Bachelor and the NFL at this point. I think they have ritualized viewing habits. On Sundays, dudes go over to their friends' houses, get some beers, have a barbecue, wear your favorite team's jersey, and you watch your game. The Bachelor and Bachelorette are that on Monday nights. It's the exact same thing, except a slightly different audience. But just like in the NFL, there are people who know that that organization is racist.
Also, fundamentally has a horrible thing underlying the whole thing, which is CTE.
Yeah, exactly. It mistreats the players. They're there kind of for our spectacle at the cost, potentially, of their physical well-being, shortened lifespans, all that. All the dudes who watch football, like some of them know that about the NFL and continue to watch the game. And they are able to kind of, for some reason, either overlook it.
You gotta just have a little bit of complicity that you're okay with.
Yeah, exactly. And The Bachelor is the exact same. I think there are half of its audience is watching it and being like, I'm down with everything this represents. And the other half is like, I'm against most of what this represents, but I like the game.
Do you think those people leave the game if there is a rise of these dating shows like Love is Blind?
No.
No.
The Bachelor is like the NFL. There's nothing else like it. It is the biggest one. And yes, there can be all these other little shows, and you may even get Instagram followers like Love is Blind. Those people are doing really well now. Some of them have like a million followers on Instagram, starting their own YouTube channels. But it ain't The Bachelor, and I'm not sure anything ever will be. It really is like the NFL. I don't know how else to explain it. I feel like that anyway.
It fits into the sports metaphor very nicely that you have the travel game, you have playoffs, you have the semifinals, you have the finals.
Yeah, it's a sport that is more about manipulation and psychology and emotion. It's not like a physical sport, you know?
Yeah.
But you'll notice every season on The Bachelor, they have a literal NFL date, like a group date where they go into some NFL arena, or even when they went to Cleveland this season, their hotel overlooked the fucking football stadium and they made sure to get a shot of that in there. It is a commingled world. The world of these kind of high-end sports where there's somebody at the very top making a shitload of money at the expense of the players.
Yeah.
Do you know what Lord Harrison's job was before he was Lord Harrison?
No.
He was a sports announcer for a local news station in Texas, I think. Anyway, I was just thinking about that after looking at Cameron Duffy's stuff, because I was just like, how do they keep casting guys like this every season?
I think it's like a guy like that makes great TV. I think that's literally what they're thinking. He's going to be kind of jacked up, testosterone-y. He's going to get super competitive with the other players. Duff, reveal your 2016 Instagram photos to us.
Those are out there like Trump's tax returns. We need to see them.
By the way, he has unliked these posts on his friend's page. I checked today. So he unliked them between yesterday and today.
You're deep in the hole.
I mean, I had to check.
You want to talk about deep in the hole? I listened to...
By the way, I have other screenshots of him in case he tries to deny that these happened.
You're keeping the archives?
In case you don't hear from me, it was the Duff. The Duff took me out.
I went this far down in the hole this week. Maybe this could be a new segment in the beginning. You and I each reveal to each other like the new hole we've dug. I listened
to... My hole is my whole Twitter feed right now. It's literally just Corona and The Bachelor.
Yeah, I've started peeling off a lot of the accounts I was following on my Instagram account, making them only Bachelor, and it's a madness. Now it's like I'm on a pure fucking drip of Bachelor just all day long. Bachelor,
I'm getting Dylan Barber's takes on Corona and how he's secretly MAGA. I'm getting my news.
I feel like I might as well fucking go to Stagecoach this year. It's like,
I mean, let's go.
No, I would never go to fucking Stagecoach. Are you kidding
me? It's probably postponed for Corona.
Oh yeah.
It's
anyway,
fuck up our plot lines for Paradise.
I'm definitely getting deeper into this. I thought that wasn't possible, and yet here I find myself fucking doing a 5-minute oral comparison of the NFL to The Bachelor. Like, I'm fucking losing it.
I mean, I think that's a very apt metaphor, and it's kind of the thing we've based this podcast around. So I think it's important to talk about.
What? I don't know if any of this is important to talk about.
We have a reality host as president, so Lord Harrison might be our president soon.
Oh my god. Anyway, let's start the fucking game. This is the finals. This is the first of a 2-episode thing. We know going into it we're gonna get sweet numbs. In fact, in the fucking lead into this week, the last thing you fucking see is the shot. BHHTU, bring her home to us. You see her do it. It sets the whole tone.
Lord Harrison then introduces it and says, we are going to find out tonight who she was crying about, who BHHTU was. He tells us we're going to find that out. I feel like there's got to be a name for this at this point. Like the fucking in the windmill 4 times, the fence jump, now bring her home to us. I feel like the Bachelor producers love a shot like this that's going to be just this emotional peak to the journey that you're going to look forward to all season, and you have to keep watching in order to find out what that was about.
And it usually involves someone emotionally breaking down, like cracking. This is a nervous breakdown on live television. Sweet Nums, I'm not buying it though. Sweet Nums is, we'll get to Sweet Nums.
Sweet
fucking
Nums.
Her acting, Jesus
delivering
Christ.
Delivering the performance of a lifetime. Her own telenovela.
I'm ready for the Sweet Nums show. Whatever that is, I don't care.
I think we just watched the first episode. This is like a crossover. This is like Vanderpump Rules being on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We saw that show start tonight.
God,
mark my words.
I'll watch it. I'd be more excited to watch the Sweet Nums show than I am fucking Bachelor with Music.
So anyway, we have the intro. We've gotten through the intro. Lord Harrison is introducing that we're going to have our fence jump of this season. Bring her home to us. He's going to say we're going to finally find out who Peter's mom is crying about. They're in the middle of Australia, a place called Alice Springs. PP describes it as mysterious and full of a lot of unknown.
And we get the ponder shot. This shot is always given to us at this moment. It kind of is ceremonial in the opening of the first round of the finals. You see whoever the bachelor is, in this case, lovely PP, standing somewhere near a railing, looking off their balcony into an ocean if they're near one. In this case, he wasn't, so it had some nice green foliage behind him. And it's to convey that this is the biggest decision of this man's life.
Yeah, it's kind of like the opening of a football game. You see the opposite quarterbacks and their pictures and their stats. We then see that with Sauce and Maddie. PP meets up with his family. They've been flown to the middle of Australia. Sweet Nums immediately starts playing the game.
It's amazing.
If they've upped their love level.
Fuck that. She starts playing the game when he walks in the fucking door. She looks like she's having an orgasm when he walks through the fucking front door. Her arms are going. That's some of the craziest shit I've ever fucking seen a human being do.
That she's already crying?
Beyond crying. She's fully into some maniac character. I think she's pulling like a Nicolas Cage on us, doing a fucking crazy piece of performance art. It's too extreme. It's too fucking crazy.
Someone commented on our last post and was like, I hope this is her audition to be the host of the senior bachelor show. And I think it
oh
is
my God.
Very well done if it is.
Do you think her and PP's dad are going to be the fucking hosts?
They could totally do it. His dad seems like he's a character as well. He's got that huge cross, but he also just like has an air of like, I'm a pilot who's fucked a lot. Sweet Nums asks PP if both of his finalists have upped their love levels.
A parent just outright asking about love levels, just going right into the game. Who's ahead in the game? I need to know that right now. She doesn't.
Yeah, give me the stats.
We've never seen a parent like Sweet Nums, who is so invested in this, so into the whole idea of The Bachelor, happy to be on it, wants to be famous herself. Is famous.
She's obsessed with it. She's praying over it every night, talking to God about PP.
Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but
they ask PP if the ladies appreciate his scar, and PP says they're all about the scar. Hannah Ann comes in and meets the parents. She says that she fell in love when she got the first impression rose, which is night one, praising the process.
So she's there for TRR directly to the fucking parents. Sweet Nums knows the game. So does Hannah Sluss. It was beautiful. Her opening with these parents was fucking... I said it, I think, in one of the older episodes. This is like watching two fucking greats going at it, just head to head. One who is, Hannah Sluss, so sound in every fucking step she makes in this game. She's missing nothing.
Flawless.
She's not playing a creative game by any means. But God damn it, every move she's doing out of 10. She's doing all the right ones, all the right times. Nothing surprising. And then, of course, Maddie, which we'll get to. But, I mean, Jesus Christ. She's changing the game, I think, in how it's played. It's incredible what she's done. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Jesus Christ. Oh, fuck.
So, Hannah Ann tells them that she fell in love when she got the first impression rose. PP's dad says, look at that. And Sweet Gnome says, I see you and me in them.
This is the first moment we have of Sweet Gnomes that's horrifying.
She's trying to have her son play out her exact love and fuck story. Sluss literally, I mean, she's so flawless. She pulls out the tears at the exact right moment she needs it with Sweet Nums. I mean, honestly, like, something that I would have said would be my play of the game was how she handled this meeting of the parents. But like you said, we saw some legendary play tonight, and it was not.
But let's talk about the thing that you're talking about, because that was a candidate for my play of the game as well. Tears to Sweet Nums. She victimized herself in Sweet Nums' eyes. She said she's putting out all this stuff for PP, but she's not getting that in return regarding right. the love.
He hasn't given it back.
And this crushes Sweet Nums. This breaks her heart. Sweet Nums just said, I see myself in you. Sweet Nums is like, I don't want my own heart to be broken. This is a little me. I want to bring in this tiny me into this family so that I can make her just like me.
Yes.
She sees that in Hannah, and she's like, fuck. I feel bad for her now. It really was just an expert play by Hannah. Again, nothing surprising. Just get the mom on your side. That's a huge piece of the family strategy. And she did it with tried and true victimization.
Sweet Nums even says after that, I feel like I've known you my whole life. You it's are incredible. Me. Which is strange because I feel like I don't know Celeste at all. I feel like she's been so fake this entire time. Celeste tells PP she loves him. She'd already said that, right? This is just reiterating her love level.
Yeah, but this is, again, textbook. Perfect. Tell him you love him again. You make out with him a little in the car and you leave with a fucking smile on your face. It all went well. No problems here. It's fucking perfect.
She knew she had to win over Sweet Nums, and she won her over hard.
But there's something with the structure of the game that now all these players are acutely aware of, even PP himself. He's been through it. He played the whole fucking season. They're also aware of it, I think, that if you just play a regular straight game now, it's virtually impossible to win. I really think that's what we're seeing with Maddie. It's more about twisting the game.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know? Doing the unexpected thing.
I feel like that's like purely a power dynamic. She's basically like exerting her power over him, being like, you don't have me.
But Hannah, even though everything she's conveying is, I'm the one for you, I think because she's played a game that is so straight, just by the book every time, she's offered him no unexpected things.
She hasn't made PP feel like he's going to lose her, which might have been a good move for Hannah at this point.
In my opinion, just from what we've seen tonight, God, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but might as well just discuss this. In my opinion, Maddie has won the game this season because she made that last decision. It wasn't Pilot Pete saying, I choose this one over you. It was him basically saying, I choose you, and her saying, go fuck yourself. She won.
But she's not getting the crown.
Not yet.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
You heard it's it coming. Here first.
It's coming.
It's coming.
I'll stand by that till the day I die.
I could see her being Bachelorette next season. Do you think she'd go to Paradise?
Yes, I think she would.
I like how seriously you considered that.
Yeah, I mean, I had to. Yeah, I think she would, because it's another game to be won.
Oh, and Celeste says, I gave it my all, left it all on the field. More sports play.
And she did. I mean, fuck, she did. She's just not an inspired player. She's just a fucking unbelievable natural talent. But she's not like a studied player, not like Maddie is.
Then PP and Maddie sit outside the parents' place and have a long talk. Maddie tells PP that she feels that he put his feelings and needs and wants ahead of hers.
And that she's not doing well. This entire conversation was a fucking ballet. I could watch this 10 times. Every back and forth was, nope, I'm in control. Nope, I'm in control. Nope, I'm in control. Finally, she wins it. I made notes. We might as well go through them.
Go through the note.
Madison essentially shames him. You didn't listen to me. I told you what I needed, and you did the opposite thing. You're selfish, essentially, she's saying. And she's not doing well. She literally says that. He then defends himself. I was expecting him to cave right there. I'm so sorry. Oh my God. Da, 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 da. He's like, no. I had to do what I had to do. I was in another relationship with somebody else. And this is the process. He's again using the weight of the show. He's got that behind him. This is how this shit works. I had to do that. You have to be okay with that, is now what he's put back in her fucking court.
He also shamed her and said that she didn't up her love level and that she's the only person he didn't know how she felt. And says it was kind of like an ultimatum.
And then she comes back with, this is hard. You've been where I've been. You know how hard this is. She invokes the pain that he felt on Hannah Brown's season. And he can't fucking deny it. She played him. You've been exactly where I've been, motherfucker. You know how hard this is. Cut me some slack.
She also cries.
Brilliant use of tears, of course. And at the end, she comes around but says she's hanging by a thread. And this was my favorite moment in this conversation. It's kind of wrapping up and it's ending on a little bit of a good note. PP says, I know you're a fighter. It's like when you got knocked out in a basketball game and your dad made you keep playing.
And you lost your tooth in the basketball game.
Oh, it said lost your...
Something about knocked your tooth out.
Maybe it was knocked your tooth out. Whatever it was. He literally compares what she is doing right now in the stage of our beloved game with another sport.
This conversation was so weird. PP clearly really doesn't want her to go. She's like, I might go. PP's like, believe me, I see that fighter. Maddie, I'm really strong-willed. I fight for what I believe in. I'm loyal to a fault. I'm really protective over my people. It sounds like a fucking sermon. Last week, even though we were hanging off a 77-story building and was like, I could do this forever and I felt safe with you, that I love you and I was going to tell you that night. This was my... play of the game. Maddie ups her love level, which she hadn't done for forever, even though PP had already upped his love level. But she also does it in a way where she keeps the power. She doesn't say, I love you. She says, I was going to tell you that I loved you that night. I'm not giving you that pure I love you because of what you did.
This was my play of the game as well. This was my... play of the game. It was fucking masterful. And this is what I'm talking about. Celeste doesn't do shit like this. I'm going to tell you I love you, but I'm going to say I would have told you sooner, but you fucked that up. It's an incredible piece of manipulation because it gives them the validation they crave while reminding them you almost didn't get it.
It's so high level, this play. It's unbelievable. I thought she couldn't beat her virginity card, which might still be the play of the season, but this was amazing.
It was almost chilling to watch.
Especially because like she knew he was trying to extract that from her before meeting the parents. She knew he just needs to get to that step, but she's still keeping in control of the situation.
And it inoculates her against any bad thing the parents can say because he's been waiting for that for so long. He gets it right in that moment. Oh, she's mine. This is fucking great. And then mom, dad, and Jet and Jack are like, Well, fuck, I'm getting ahead of myself. But
are you calling him Jet and Jack?
That's his Instagram.
Uh-oh.
His brother is Jet and Jack. JJNPP.
Is he a pilot also?
Yes. How the fuck do you not know that? I send you four pictures of him and his wife every day.
I only follow his Pee-Pee's mom and Pee-Pee's dad, okay? I don't follow Jet and Dad.
Pee-Pee's mom fucking blocked me. Sweet Nums kicked me to the curb when I made that video of her as like a Satan figure.
Is that your first mom block?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Sweet Nums.
Hey.
Setting records.
Blocked by the fucking best. I dare say. She's the best mom ever.
Maddie's up her love level. Pee-Pee's got this stupid smile. Keeps talking about how his... smiles permanent now. He tries to nag her.
He's
and
like
says, how much do you love me? And sticks his tongue out. But like, Pee-Pee, you don't have the power. We all know this. Maddie then meets the parents. Pee-Pee summarizes their outside conversation. Maddie tells them about the ultimatum. She says, I love him and I do see a future with him and I could see myself loving him for the rest of my life. Maddie talks with Pee-Pee's dad about faith and emphasizes that she really wants to grow with someone.
And he uses a word here, incompatibility. He says that, not that that's an exotic word necessarily, but it certainly hasn't been used much this season, if at all. We may hear that word later.
We may?
He's planted the idea in her head, this is your out.
You think Pee-Pee's dad slips her the out?
Yeah. Later when she leaves the show, she uses the exact word. I'm just worried about our incompatibility.
I mean, Sweet Nums talks about that too, and so does... Jet and Jack.
The whole family did it.
Yeah, it does seem like Pee-Pee's family had a powwow after Hannah Ann, and they were like, okay, so how do we tank this with Maddie? Pee-Pee's bro says, you're very physical and you like to party. What are you doing? And Pee-Pee's like, of course I'm going to be compromising part of myself. It's a relationship. Pee-Pee's brother says, I see one perfect girl and Madison.
But also, PP's brother JJ keeps to this idea that you can't compromise in a relationship. That to me is like a strange piece of advice. And here, PP actually shines for me. It's a rare moment where I'm like, yeah, PP, I agree with you. Because PP's like, of course you compromise. That's what a fucking relationship is, dude. I was like, the logic is strange.
Jet and Jack only dates slusses.
But PP Mama, num num. How far can we break it down to fucking just
PP
pure
Mama,
baby
sweet
talk?
Jet and Jack.
That's what this show is to me. It like turns my brain into fucking mush, and I'm talking in gibberish, and it makes sense to me. That's when you know you're in the fucking bottom of the pit, when you start speaking another fucking language, and it makes sense to you.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people would listen to this podcast, and they would have no idea what the fuck we're talking about.
But we do. It's just you and me sitting here everything. Making a weird language. That's what this has become.
We're not making our own language. It was already there, the language.
Yeah, maybe. PP, not really. We made up PP, I feel like. Whatever. We're in the bottom of the fucking pit. That's all I'm saying. And now we're making up these weird fucking languages. But why were we talking about any of that? It was germane to something. I have no fucking
idea.
We're
talking about PP's brother.
My apologies. Didn't mean to derail it with my fucking descent into sanity.
PP's mom asks Maddie about religion and says PP's more of a spiritual person. You know, only sees God in the bedroom type thing. Asks about their different lifestyles. Says I don't want anyone to change him. Is kind of like, how dare you tell him not to have sex?
Sweet Nums is playing the fucking game. She's praising the process. I think it's cool that he fucked. That's what fantasy suites are for. I mean, that literally
you hadn't
is what's
even upped
here.
Your love level. What did you expect?
Yeah, right off the bat, they don't get it off. Whatever the producers are showing us in this, they're at least painting the picture that they're not getting along. If there was some kind of reconciliation between the mom, the family, and Maddie and all that shit, we don't ever see it.
We have Maddie being like, my expectations are valid, no real resolve. And PP takes Maddie out to the car. And he says something to her, which I thought was like a prayer or a poem. He says, that was the most insane display of love and courage and strength.
It's almost like he's critiquing an athletic performance in a sport. Strange, huh?
It sounds like a sermon or something. Like he's desperately trying to be this like religious father figure that Maddie wants to be her husband. Now we get some really crazy shit. PP goes inside and Sweet Nums cries to him. This was my play of the game.
What?
In the first episode of the Senior Bachelor spinoff.
Oh. I thought you were legitimately going to give Sweet Nums a play of the game. I'm like, that is out of our parameters.
No, I already gave my play of the game to Maddie and
oh,
her
fuck, that's right.
upped love level with a twist. Yeah. No, it was so fucking crazy. She goes on and on and says, she's not there for you. I said a prayer last night. Please guide them. You have a gem waiting for you. Is madly head over heels in love with you. And God put her there for you. God answered my prayers and put the right person in your path.
She calls her an angel on earth. She calls Hannah Ann Sluss a fucking angel on earth.
Because she's the young version of Sweet Nums. An angel on earth, of course.
This was like, for me, a beautiful moment in our beloved game, because very rarely do you get to see a parent involved this much in any of the goings-on.
It's never happened before. That's why it's my play of the game in the spinoff.
He's never lived outside the home. He's 28 years old, and now he's gone for 2 months, fucking a bunch of different players around the world, and Sweet Nums can't take it. That's why she was crying when he came
That's why she
was
crying. She missed him. And she sees herself as Sluss. Which, so PP, her son, is like her husband.
But it's also like she can pass her son off to the next woman as long as that woman's like her.
And then she says, all I can do is hope God enlightens him to see that angel, essentially. We cut back to the crowd. They show some women mouthing, oh my God, and that's crazy. And Lord Harrison says, how many of you agree with Sweet Nums speaking her mind? And he pulls the crowd.
It harkens back to the Roman Colosseum, thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah, they're like counting those cheers, seeing if they're going to give her own spinoff.
Do you think we're going to see Sweet Nums and PP Dada in paradise?
As what?
They're the bartenders. I don't know. I can see a weird pocket of people that they just start using in the shows. They're already like kind of doing it with Demi, yeah. Why not the parents? Why not Sweet Gnomes?
Yeah. They're beloved by Bachelor Nation. They have a great, healthy sexual relationship. Maybe they can help these lost kids in paradise.
If I saw Sweet Gnomes and Pilot Pete's dad hosting some kind of sexual how-to seminar.
A group
in
date?
Paradise. In paradise. Yes. Here's how we keep the spark alive so long in our relationship.
We cut back to PP and his family. They're like, PP, where are you at? After Sweet Gnomes has had this whole long thing. PP's like, I really like Madison. And Sweet Gnomes says, this is last season. Hannah B picked the wrong person over you. She starts sobbing. Hannah Ann loves you with all her heart. Don't let her go. Bring her home to us. We will love her with all the love in the world. She's a dream come true. God has placed her there for you. That's what love stories are made of.
Made out of. How dare you get one word of that wrong.
You have that written down?
Yeah, in my fucking brain.
Oh my God. Okay, I think this is the pit.
Is it?
That you knew every single word of that paragraph?
But yeah, I mean, this is really it. This is where Sweet Gnomes is taking center stage. This is the moment that we've been waiting for, that we've seen in the promos fucking 100 times. And this big question of who the fuck is it gets answered and it's nothing.
PP's like, you have to stop right now. Mom, stop.
And she's talking about Hannah. No one left the show. It wasn't a secret Hannah Brown thing. It wasn't anybody coming back. They purposely misled us once again. They do it every fucking season.
Thought it was Maddie.
It was very anticlimactic. I feel like the buildup they got out of that footage and all the promos was definitely not worth the payoff.
Lord Harrison kept saying we're gonna see something this episode that we've that's never happened.
And what was it? Just like a hysterical mother? That's what we saw?
We never saw a mom give her opinion so clearly, I guess.
That was pretty shocking. Don't get me wrong. Sweet Gnomes is an important figure in this season of our beloved game. I'm not trying to shortchange Sweet Gnomes. I'm just saying, it didn't really affect the game in any way.
I mean, I enjoyed it immensely. Every sob. And it looks like we're getting more sobs from her in the next episode, too. PP's like, Mom, this is destroying me right now. Please don't do that to me. It is frustrating. He's immediately undercutting the BHHTU.
When that BHHTU happens, there are producers there somewhere, maybe in the control room truck. I don't know how they have their production set up, but the producers are there. Camera people are obviously there. As BHHTU is happening, are they aware of what it's going to be this season? Immediately, when that conversation starts, are they like, this is it. This is our fence jump. Or is that later? Is that put together?
I think they get the excitement of like, oh, this is what we're going to show for this episode. I don't know if they knew this will be so good we can have it for the season.
It's basically a moment that begs the audience to ask the question, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, but clearly it doesn't take Sweet Gnomes much to cry.
No, she's good. Sweet Gnomes, I think, probably could have played our beloved game.
Yeah, she's a born player. Pee-pee goes and sits on a rock, says, I want Maddie more than anything.
That shot, sometimes in the show, they have these shots where you can just hear the producer saying, go stand over there or sit over there. They make this motherfucker sit on like a small boulder, cross-legged, arms around knees, peering off into the distance.
It's so awkward.
I mean, it just doesn't look natural in any way. No one would ever be like, I'm going to go sit directly on that rock. It's just insane. It really shows you like, we tell them to do anything and they do it.
We then get the date with Maddie. PP and her go on a helicopter ride. He says it's a really sacred spot they're going to go to.
And she's doing a bit of physical play here that is fucking high, high level. Holding his hand, but then breaking with it. And then holding it again, and then breaking with it. Nuzzling him a little, but not giving him a kiss. She's giving him just enough physical affection.
That makes me think that it's the virgin thing. That she's used to doing that with guys. Keeping them on edge and like giving a hint, but then two steps back.
Well, I mean, it works fantastically.
Yeah.
She does it verbally as well. In attitude, in emotional connection, and here now she's doing it physically. When they were in the helicopter, there's a couple examples of it. I was like, fuck. She's really just like doing whatever she wants with him now. Anything she wants, because he's seeking that validation the entire time. She just really has been able to keep him so off balance. that she can make him go wherever she wants, do whatever she wants. She's kind of villainous in her manipulative skill, but all of her personal virtues and stuff eliminate the possibility of ever being a victim.
Yeah.
She has kind of innocence inherently in all of her life choices, but
yeah, it kind of lets her get away with all this stuff. She really like wears her walls on her sleeve, so she's like constantly like not giving PP too much. Bachelor Clues at this point says that's a sacred spot, so we're gonna take this bad boy and spray it down with some noxious fumes.
Oh yeah, he gives this little nice speech about it being a spiritual place for the indigenous people. And then literally, so we're gonna take this bad boy out and fucking fly it around. He calls the helicopter a bad boy.
They drink sparkling apple juice. Does Maddie not drink also?
There was something earlier this season. I remember seeing a picture that floated around the internet of somebody fake drinking.
It was Hannah Ann.
Ooh.
It was a video where they're all cheersing and she pretends to drink it.
Okay, so it was her. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I've seen Maddie drink. It's not anything that's been memorable enough or that they made a big enough deal out of.
It would make her an even better player, in my opinion, because she's still compelling to him, even though her lifestyle so doesn't match up with his. Because Pee-Pee likes to party.
That's what we learned from Sweet Gnomes. Look at that
scar. He wears it on his forehead, how much he likes to party. He smashed an alcoholic beverage into his face. Sweet Gnome seems to have maybe gotten in Maddie's head. She's thinking about whether they have, what's the word?
Compatibility. Because Dad and Sweet Gnomes put it in her mind, she now regurgitates it. That's my out. It was an interesting play either way. If it had just been played for face value, and that was her exiting the show and trying to do it on a high note saying, this just didn't work out, and it's not my fault, you fucked it up. That's not a bad Bachelor play.
No.
You know, they chose who they chose. Claire Crawley, as we all know now. For whatever reasons, they're using her to kind of manifest a new, or what will be perceived as a new version of the show, with an older Bachelorette than they've ever had. It'll be more mature. They're really going to hammer home 4TRR this fucking season. I guarantee it. I mean, we all have to be here for the right reasons because she's 38. That's going to be said a million times.
It's going to be entirely about her age. Ugh, it's going to be rough. We're going to get to see C-Duff do it. Maybe.
You think he's going to be removed? No.
People could dig deeper. Send us the 2016 picks.
God, we got so much stuff we need to see. 2016 Cameron Duffy picks, baloney show footage, extra hooju footage.
Maddie is telling Pee-Pee she's questioning it. Pee-Pee is like, is it because of that night? And she's like, no, but things have been brought into focus in the last couple of days. Faith and marriage and lifestyle. By the way, during this whole thing, there are flies buzzing around them the whole time.
That, to me, was the best part of this. I don't know if it was intentional. They had to have at least been like, shit, there's a lot of flies out here. Should we still do it here? Yep. That decision was at least made. You know what I mean? They didn't fucking not notice those flies. Everybody's swinging their hand around their face every fucking 2 seconds. They chose to let them stay there, to not have this conversation anywhere else.
You think they just didn't want to interrupt it and they just wanted it to play out? So they're like, well, fuck, there's more and more flies, but we can't stop this?
No, because whether it's a good or a bad conversation, if they know what's going to happen or not, it's still like the two, at this point, leads of your fucking show having like some kind of conversation about tomorrow's the biggest day of our lives. And they want them swatting flies off their face? That, to me, was a choice.
Maddie then brings up the word compatibility and says, I really don't know if we're best for each other. Pee-Pee, you can see him doing this active calculation where he's like, how much can I beg her and still go back to Sluss? But they play the heartbeat sound again, and Pee-Pee says goodbye to Maddie. They keep adding in this heartbeat sound effect to make it seem more emotional.
They use that heartbeat thing a lot. They've used it in other seasons too. Whenever they're trying to like up the emotion of a scene just by a little bit, put in that heartbeat.
Oh, they definitely fuck with the sound. They're splicing together whole phrases. Tanking Kelly's Bachelorette ploy. Then we get Pee-Pee talks to Lord Harrison.
After Maddie pulls a dump, which was... Oh God, that it was just... Look, let me just settle on that play for 1 second. Let me just examine it, because we know actually what happens now. She's gonna come back. We know that that's part of this from the promo. That means this play, since we know the context of it, it isn't her trying to be the Bachelorette. It's her trying to make him crazier, even, to drive him further to madness.
Because she would know... No, she wouldn't know at this point about Claire.
No. I don't even know if it was conscious. But this is the result of her play, is that he's going to be destroyed.
Yeah,
like, she will have broken him.
The only reason at this point to not go for the ring is that you think you're in contention for crown. Yeah, I don't know. Wait, so what? You think she did it to make him crazier?
No, that's the result of the play. I don't know why she did it. All players exist anywhere on that scale from 4TRR to 4TWR and everything in between. I think she's probably somewhere a little closer to 4TWR, but toward the middle.
You think she comes back because she has genuine feelings?
Strong enough feelings that she comes back. I don't know if she really loves the guy or what. I mean, I don't know if any of these people's emotions are. But you can see with Maddie, like, there is a competitive side of her that is driving most of what she does in the game.
She's a fighter.
That last conversation they had was essentially that. You're a fighter. I see it in you, all this shit. And she says, I know, but sometimes being a good fighter means knowing when to surrender. And then she gets back in that fucking car and she's like, wait a minute, what did I just say? I don't lose. And now she's coming back. I think that is a part of it. And yes, I think there's probably some emotional involvement with PP as well. I think that is real to some degree because they've been put through this weird fucking pressure cooker situation that's like designed specifically to degrade their intellect, degrade their basic human psychology.
I know this is getting ahead of ourselves, but do you think that they hold Maddie and PP apart until after the final rose? And that's why they say we don't know what's happened?
Well, next episode is where we're really going to get to see some interesting shit about what the producers control and what they don't. When does she come back? All of that is decided by the producers. So I think when we see Dark Lord Harrison in the promo say, we just found out about this ourselves, it is Maddie coming back, but she's going to show up in a dress and fucking makeup, right? They knew about it. They got her ready. They decided right. When she was going to come out, all that shit. This
is
all
conjecture. Yeah, they're timing it before his conversation with Sloss. Yeah. PP talks to Lord Harrison in Australia, says he's in one of the hardest situations of his life. He never anticipated feeling like this, etc. It's very tough for him. And Lord Harrison is like, can you get over this heartbreak or is this over? Cliffhanger. Then we get the date with Sluss. This is something that is interesting to me. I'm like, why wouldn't PP tell her right off the bat that Maddie is out?
Because he's still trying to calculate in his mind if there's a way to get her back. We've all seen this. I mean, fuck, he grew up in the shadow
because
of the mansion.
That
he doesn't know how the game works.
Conversation with Sluss.
Well, no, like Maddie might show up at the fucking final rose ceremony or whatever. He doesn't know. I think he's still open to the possibility that Maddie is not gone for good.
Right.
And so to tell her like, well, Maddie left the show, it's just a bad move. Like, there's no benefit in that whatsoever.
If it was a real relationship and he was actually trying to move forward with Sluss, you would be honest. But yeah, he goes on this date. He pretends that he wasn't crushed and in the hardest situation of his life the day before. We get this Australian guy who introduces them to this kangaroo sanctuary.
But he does it in a very weird way. This guy, by the way, was my Jorge Moreno bystander of the week.
He was my Jorge Moreno bystander of the week. Award winner.
This man was nameless. We never ever saw who the fuck he was. They never put his name up. He just pulls up in a weird SUV out in the middle of the desert where they're walking around, gets out, looks almost semi-sinister, and then is like, come with me. And he takes them to a kangaroo sanctuary where they bottle feed baby kangaroos.
And swaddle them.
They were cute, I have to admit.
They were cute. Later at drinks, Sluss is like, I have it all on the table. It's hard not hearing it back. Says, you seem not completely there. And then we don't see the end.
But right before that, PP is telling her all of the good qualities that she has and that she's put on display this season for him. And it seems like he's trying in that moment to convince himself, I can go this way. I can pick her.
Yeah. He's like, I've seen you. He keeps saying that. I see you. Mm-hmm. I've seen you the whole time. And then he leaves. There's no conclusion. PP's still hoping Maddie changes her mind. And we see scenes from tomorrow where Sweet Nums is going wild. She's taking the tears to another level. Can't wait.
I can't even imagine what it's going to be. Because some of the promo looked like there was an anticipatory shot of the family. Sweet Nums and the son and the dad holding hands, eyes wide, ready for somebody to come through the door as though it's going to be a surprise. Like he's going to bring back Maddie or Sluss, and they're waiting to see just as we are.
They're hoping it's Sluss, and Pee-Pee comes in and says it's Maddie, and Sweet Nums has an aneurysm.
I see myself in you.
An angel walking on earth.
Like myself.
That was the first part of our
finale.
One
of the finals. Guys, we made it to the fucking finals. As much as I do hate the bottom of the pit, I am always kind of excited for the finals. And I have to say, it's just because of the competition. I love seeing how the game plays out, which players have done their best, which players have changed the game. We're still in that era of our beloved game where the game can be changed pretty dramatically by inserting new play styles. And we're seeing some this season with Madison Pruitt. Jesus Christ.
My
incredible.
Favorite part about finals week.
By the way, Hannah Sluss was my MVP. Because she did everything she could do. As she said in her own words, left it all on the field. Or what did she say?
I gave it my all.
And I 100% agree with her. She put in every ounce of effort she could, and she did everything right. Her season that she has fucking played up to this point, flawless. I don't know that we'll see another player who is just that naturally gifted at doing everything at exactly the right time. That first game that she fucking played, where she stole
three
him
steals,
three times.
Night one.
Incredible. It was an incredible gauge of how much of this shit is he willing to take. If she would have done it four times, it might have come off as overly aggressive and immediately painted her in a bad light. She did it three, right up to the line, and she got rewarded with the fucking fimp. And now he's even recalling that as like, I gave you that first impression, Rose. Confirmation bias. That means this is supposed to work out. And he's telling himself all of these things now to try and convince himself she was the one that God had ordained to be his bride.
Yeah, that the stars said God was protecting for him until he found her. For all of these reasons and more, Hannah Sluss was also my MVP. She pulled out her tears at the exact right time and managed to read the situation correctly with Sweet Nums, that she needed to get Sweet Nums to see herself as an angel version of her walking on earth as a young woman. I don't think you could do the Meet the Parents in a better way. She reiterated her love level in this episode. Couldn't compete with Maddie's play of the game, though, the manipulation of PP. Giving a love level up in with a twist that was scathing and gorgeous. Oh, she also said that she fell in love with PP when she got the first impression rose and praised the process along the way.
What's the dwab at?
It has been 6,559 days without a Black Bachelor. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you like the podcast, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts or tell a friend to come get down in the pit with us.
Don't even tell a friend to get in the pit with us. Just play the part of this episode where I speak in gibberish and see if they understand it. If they do, they can join us. If not, never let them hear this podcast again.
We will see you tomorrow night.
Yeah, we're doing another one of these after tomorrow's episode, the grand finale. The season is over. Almost.
Praise be Lord Harrison.